Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to begin our time together this morning by singing for you one of the songs that I learned when I was at Taizé this past week. The song is originally written in French, so the first time through I'm going to sing it in French, and then I'll sing it in English. So it goes like this. Jésus le Christ, lumière intérieure, ne laissez pas mes ténèbres m'y parler. Jésus le Christ, lumière intérieure, donnez-moi d'éclairer ton amour. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let not my doubt nor my darkness speak to me. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let my heart always welcome your love. Last week, I had the privilege of traveling to Taizé, France, a monastery in the north of France. For those of you who don't know, Taizé is an ecumenical, meaning that people worship there who are Catholic, all different kinds of Protestant, and also Orthodox. The community is also multicultural, meaning people worship there from all over the world. And in worship, we sing something like 10 different languages in one service. Since I traveled to Taizé during the last week of Easter, so the week before Pentecost, the new song that we learned this week was Jésus le Christ, or Lord Jesus Christ. We sing this song during Easter time because it's a song of assurance that the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus. It's also a song of hope in the midst of darkness. Yes, we are going to experience doubt and darkness, but we will not despair because we know that because of Easter, Jesus is with us always. During my week in Taizé, I spent a lot of time thinking and praying and meditating about doubt and darkness. On the second day of our stay, the community turned over evidence of 5 cases of sexual assault committed by 3 brothers to French authorities. The assaults occurred between 1950 and 1980, and they all involved youth. 2 of the 3 accused brothers passed away a long time ago. But one of the brothers is still living, and he's still a part of the community. This living brother is very old, and he can't care for himself anymore. All of the brothers took vows of simplicity and poverty, so this brother doesn't have a pension or a savings account or even family that can care for him. The brothers shared this evidence with French authorities in an effort to safeguard future youth that attend the monastery. We all know that sexual assault perpetrated by those in authority is not a new crime. We know it happened, and we know it continues to happen in places like churches, schools, and the workplace. Between 1950 and 1980, few men were persecuted for this kind of assault because women thought this kind of assault was so normal it wasn't worth bringing to authorities. To this day, women struggle to come forward when this happens for fear that they will lose their jobs, their reputations, and even their relationships with friends and family. Yet, when I was at the monastery this week, I was a little bit surprised with just how visible the suffering that results from this type of abuse is, even though this abuse occurred 30 to 70 years ago. For the brothers of Tizé, so these are the men who live full-time at the monastery, sexual assault of youth is an affront to their faith in Jesus, to their ministry with youth, but also to their vows of celibacy. What makes this monastery unique is that most of the brothers are actually my age. So these are men who are in their late 20s to early 30s. Most of these assaults occurred before they were born. Yet they must face the public's outrage. Worse still, they took vows to care for the man in the community who is still living, who can't care for himself. I don't know how you care for somebody when you have conflicting feelings about his behavior. For the youth of Tizé, so these are the young people who visit the monastery every year, and they're, you know, somewhere between 15 and 25. They live in a world where sexual assault is always a crime. They live in a world where men and women are persecuted when they commit these crimes. It is unimaginable to them that a community would know about this assault for 30 years and not do anything about it until now. The youth are angry, but they're also scared. If abuse happened in this place in the past, what's to stop it from occurring now? Finally, for the adults attending Tizé, so these are people who are 25 and up, we know that sexual abuse happens, and we want to extend grace and mercy where we can. But we have been entrusted to care for the safety of the youth that we bring to this monastery. Knowing that abuse has once happened at Tizé, how can we in good faith continue to bring youth here? I brought these questions with me as I reflected on our scripture passage for this morning. I imagine that this passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome is a familiar one to many of us. Paul's central argument is that we are being made whole through our suffering. But what does this mean? For Paul, suffering is not something we can avoid or outsmart or not deal with. All of us must pass through suffering because there exists in all of us that which must be purified by the love of God. Another important part of Paul's argument is that while we all suffer, we don't suffer in vain. Suffering produces endurance or perseverance. And for Paul, endurance is going to mean growing in the characteristics of God. In fact, he makes the argument that it is only through suffering that we can grow in the characteristics of God. So things like love, patience, generosity, compassion, and forgiveness. The character that results produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because God is more faithful than we can ever imagine. Paul's final argument is that hope is what emerges out of suffering. Hope is what we believe waits for us on the other side of terrible pain and unimaginable evil. Hope is the foundation upon which the church stands, hope in the glory of God. I believe that Paul wrote this meditation on suffering to encourage the early church not to waste their pain. If we can learn from our pain, then our pain isn't wasted. It becomes a source of life and health. But if we try to avoid it, to bury it, or ignore it, we waste an opportunity to grow in endurance. Let's take what's happening right now in the Taizé community as an example. What can we learn from their pain? I think the first thing that we learn is that we need to discuss abuse when it happens. When we ignore it, when we hide it, when we downplay it, we take away the dignity of its victims, and we compromise our own integrity in the process. The second thing we learn is that we need to acknowledge the institutional dysfunction that allows for abuse to occur. No institution, whether it is a church, a school, or a place of work, no institution has the right to violate the integrity of an individual by ignoring abuse. When I say institutional dysfunction, I mean we need to help institutions create practices that allow them to investigate abuse. These practices have to aid the institution in listening to victims and also encouraging them to come forward. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, I think we need to take a little more responsibility for one another. Too often we downplay abuse as one person behaving badly. But what if instead we got creative in how we care for one another? What if instead of telling young women not to walk home at night alone, what if we gave them our cell phone number, told them they can call us any time of day or night, and we will give them a ride home? What if instead of writing off this kind of behavior as boys will be boys, we teach our young men appropriate ways to relate to women? What if instead of assuming that a woman is lying, we listen to her and we partner with outside organizations that maybe have more resources than we do to ensure her safety? Friends, I know this is a heavy sermon, but I think it's one we need to talk about. My hope is that our time together this morning encourages you to reflect on areas in your life where you're experiencing pain, and to get a little bit curious about what you can learn from it. I am optimistic that the Taizé community will adopt better practices in the future to safeguard against sexual abuse of youth because of the pain they are currently experiencing over 30-year-old allegations. In the same way, I believe that God can use your current pain to help you grow in endurance, character, and hope. Paul's letter to the Romans isn't all doom and gloom. The good news of our scripture passage for this morning is this: life, health, even hope can come in the midst of suffering if we have the courage to learn from our pain. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.